Ignition sequence start.
Oh, see, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Yeah. The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yeah!
Paul touches it up.
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Clutch City Control Room, your home for all things Houston hoops. I am one of your hosts, LaShar Binkley. I am director of basketball operations for Overtime Heroics. I'm a contributor for Space City Scoop. And, of course, I am a podcast host for Clutch City Control Room.
And I'm your second host, Anthony Duckett, site expert for Space City Scoop and also podcast co-host with Clutch City Control Room. And you can find me on Twitter at @A_Duckett. And be sure to follow the official Clutch City Control Room account at Clutch City CR, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll greatly appreciate it.
All right, Anthony. So we got a ton to talk about, especially since we've last spoken, and also free agency started on Friday. Lots of Rockets news, which is always a good thing, especially I'll say a lot of good Rockets news. It's a good thing. We've had plenty of Rockets news. I just want to start off with, of course, the two biggest names that come out of free agency for the Rockets so far, Christian Wood and also DeMarcus Cousins. So let's start off with Wood. What was your first impression when you first heard the Rockets had a chance to sign him on Friday?
So going into free agency, you know, my three targets really were, you know, Jeremy Grant, Serge Ibaka, Christian Wood. And, you know, my thoughts were, you could do well with any of those three, but in my opinion, Wood is the most well-rounded in that he can put the ball on the floor as well. I think the Rockets actually – I'm surprised they put it off. We had heard that they were going to be hindered by talks of Harden and Russ wanting out, which I still kind of question if that's really true that they want out.
Yeah.
But so to be able to get – you know, to be able to get Christian Wood, you know, that's really, in my opinion, a steal, especially the fact that they were able to, when you think about it, they were able to flip Covington in a deal that brought back Ariza, which obviously, you know, Ariza played for like 10 teams in like 2 minutes. but the good thing about that deal is that, you know, you had 12.8 million trade exception, which came in handy when it came to upping Wood's salary. The first report today was a 3-year deal or 27 million, and Rockets 3 was kind of like, why would he sign that? You know, 9 million a year sounds kind of off and odd for Wood. So then when the true numbers came out, you know, 3 years, 41 million, that made a lot more sense. But the Rockets are getting a stud. I mean, he's 25 years old. You know, the numbers that he put up post Andre Drummond when the Pistons traded him to Cleveland, 22.4 points a game, 9.8 rebounds, 1.1 blocks, 39% from three. I mean, now it's a small sample size because, you know, we're talking about a shortened season. The Pistons didn't go to the bubble, right? But still, you know, 22-10, 39% from three. I mean, those are solid numbers. And I think that Wood has a skill set that Harden hasn't had in Houston, right? A 6'10 guy who can, you know, who can put the ball on the floor, obviously crash the glass, shoot threes. He doesn't really, you know, he never really had that kind of skill set. And I'm really excited to see how Wood plays under Silas. You know, I was talking to Britt in the last podcast we did, Emergency Podcast. You know, when you think about Christian Wood, obviously him and Porzingis are not the same player. They have differences. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is you could look – it's not really off base to say that he could be a poor man's Porzingis. And we saw, you know, what Silas did with Porzingis last season in Dallas. So that should bode excitement as well.
Yeah, and kind of expand on what you were talking about, his numbers after Drummond was traded. Like in his last five games, a couple of games really stood out. I mean, he played great in all the games, but a couple of games stood out just because of the opponent. A couple of days before the stoppage in March, they had a game against Utah. He put up 30 points. He put up 11 rebounds, and that was against, you know, Rudy Gobert. Of course, he doesn't specifically always play center, but that was pretty much his primary position after Drummond was traded. And then at the very last game, right before the break or the stoppage in March, against Embiid, Horford, and Tobias Harris, he put up 32 points, 7 rebounds, and he was 3 of 4 from three-point range. I mean, like you were saying with his numbers that went way up after the trade, I think given the opportunity, and I think here he will have that opportunity because, let's face it, even if they keep Tucker and Tucker's in the starting lineup, and let's say Cousins come back and he's healthy, Cousins is really only going to play, I mean, at the most 15 to 20 minutes. I think that's pushing it. I think it'll be more like 10 to 15 minutes. So Christian
Wood – especially starting out.
Exactly. He's going to have to work his way back. So Christian Wood is going to be playing 30-plus minutes a game. And this will probably be the, this will be the first season that he actually has an opportunity to play that many minutes because if you look at, you know, his first few years, it was kind of sporadic. Last year was really the first opportunity he had to play a good amount of minutes. So he'll get the shots. And like you say, he's great in pick and roll. He's great in open floor. He's a decent shot blocker. He may get even better with more, you know, playing time. But he's long, he's athletic, and that's the exact type of player that I would think, you know, Harden would love to play with. I mean, he was with Capella, who's, you know, athletic and can jump, but he wasn't really a player you can have running a pick and pop. You know, pick and roll, great, but when teams took that away, like, you know, for instance, Golden State Warriors, they put a person in the lane. And anytime that Capella tried to do the pick and roll, it didn't work because he couldn't go out on the three-point line. But Christian Wood is different. If they try that same strategy, any team, you know, against the Rockets now, Christian Wood can, you know, pop out to the three-point line. And now you got a guy that can actually shoot from out there that 6'10 or taller. So I think it's a great sign. And, of course, you know, there was other people out there like Ibaka was another name, Jeremy Grant. But if you really look at it, Christian Wood fits whether you're rebuilding or whether you're running the back. So he's kind of like the perfect player for the kind of the current state of the Rockets. So I think it's a, you know, a great signing by Stone for sure.
Yeah, I've actually been – speaking of Stone, I've been really impressed. You know, I know we'll get into that, you know, a little bit later, but yeah. This is one of many good moves I think we've seen from Stone. But, you know, not just Christian Wood, the Rockets have had other solid – additions this offseason, I would say, especially, you know, a lot of these guys are young prospects, kind of unprovens, you know, your Mason Jones, Kenyon Martin Jr., you know, you've had Jayshon Tate, who I know a lot of people are excited about, you know, so there have been several other big moves. But the one thing that I go back to with the Wood signing is that they have shown that they are doing all they can, I think, to surround Harden and to show Harden, hey, we really are serious and committed to, you know, building a contender, putting a contender around you, you know, because while I don't necessarily think that Harden's like, hey, I want out, I do think that he's at a point where he realized we need more, you know, we need to put more around us. Rockets are very top heavy last season, you know, in the playoffs especially. Really, Gordon stepped up a little bit in the playoffs, especially second round, but I mean, you really were relying on mainly Harden and Russ, right? Some days you got solid contributions from Daniel House. You know, you got solid contributions from Covington. Although playoffs, you know, he was a little bit exposed defensively. Yeah. But I think that this Wood signing especially is one that proved to Harden, you know, we're really serious about building around you. The Rockets have to actually, you know, cough up some extra money to even bring in Wood.
Yes, and I know that's been a big thing on Rockets Twitter. And the Rockets have now officially been in the luxury tax for 3 or 4 days now. So that's probably some type of record for Houston Rockets. And not to get too far off subject, something I kind of want to bring to the forefront, Leslie Alexander pretty much never went into the tax. I know people love Leslie Alexander because they thought he, you know, spent all this money. He was the greatest owner of all time. But Leslie Alexander did all he could as well to stay in the tax. Not to defend Fertitta, just something to throw out there for people that didn't know that. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. Yeah, bringing in Woods and signing him to that contract is not even a, you know, it's not a Gordon Hayward ridiculous contract. It's not a contract to where you would think later on he's going to be complaining about. I think it's a perfect contract for where he is currently.
Yeah.
And you kind of brought up some of the other players they're bringing in. I think Mason Jones, out of all the people we mentioned, is probably has the best chance to actually make the roster at some point this year. I mean, he's a 6'5", 200-pound guard who can is a great, very good shooter. Actually, he's one of the best scorers that come out of the SEC in a long time. He actually had a couple of 40-point games this last year. He led the SEC in scoring. He actually said he patterns his game after Harden. Yes. Which is, you know, which is great, you know, even if Harden doesn't come, but or Harden doesn't stay, but I think he has probably the best chance out of all the players that they brought in, especially the undrafted players, to actually, you know, make it to the roster. So that's definitely something to look forward to, because that was one of the biggest problems for the Rockets is they don't have a lot of young guys that you can say, okay, this guy can possibly develop. This guy can possibly develop. I mean, it was a, you know, bunch of older players at the very end of their prime or past their prime. So it's good that they infuse some, you know, some young people into the roster, and, you know, we kind of see where they go from there. Also, going back to the Woods right quick, do you have any doubts or any kind of reservations that, okay, he played great for half a year, who's to say that he's going to get any better? I don't personally, but I mean, I want to get your opinion on it.
No, the reason why I don't have those doubts is because, you know, because of the nature of his play and his role in that half of the season that we focused on. You know, he actually was really to be, I mean, I know it's easy. People say it's easy to get empty numbers, empty stats on a non-contending team, right? Pistons weren't good. You know, they didn't even make the you know, playoffs in the East, right? But I don't really so much focus on that. To me, it shows more so that he's able to be, you know, the lead dog. Now, he won't be the lead dog here, obviously, but I like the fact that he stepped up when given the opportunity. You know, his minutes went up because he became the starter without Drummond, full-time starter. And I think that's a really good glimpse of what we'll get from him. Now, obviously, he was the main scoring option in Detroit for that you know, that period of time where they didn't have Drummond. And he won't be the main scoring option here, obviously, right, because you have Harden and Russ as well. But you know, I think that we can get a solid 18 and 10 out of Wood. Actually, he might even get, I guess, 11 rebounds because he's – I mean, you know, he's going to be the main big man that we have for sure. So, you know, I think it's not unreasonable for him to get 18 and 11. 3-point shot will definitely be a big boost playing alongside Russ and Harden. And I think that, you know, if there are, you know, opportunities where we have Cousins and Wood on the floor at the same time, it'd be great because obviously Wood can shoot the three. If there is a concern that I would have, it's not really the half season. It's more so his frame. You know, he's more of like the KD frame. You know, Kevin Durant, 6'10", 6'11", 215, which is why I don't really think it would be the right call to have him playing center all the time. What's your thoughts on that?
So I kind of agree, and I've been kind of going back and forth. I think it also depends on the matchup that you're going to have. I mean, some teams you may can get away with that. I don't know if you're going to be doing that against a team like
Lakers, maybe?
Like Lakers or even a Karl-Anthony Towns. Yeah. Bigger, you know, bigger centers, like Jonas Valanciunas from the Grizzlies. I don't think you are even the center for Portland. I don't think you're going to be playing him against Nurkic. Those type of centers, Nurkic. I don't think you'll be playing against those type of centers. But I think during certain stretches of a game, he can play his center position. But I still think you're going to see P.J. Tucker a lot of times guard – or most of the time guard the, you know, the bigger centers because he's a better option when it comes to that. Unless something happens where he gets traded, but that's a different segment. But for now, I see him, sticking more playing the power forward, even maybe guarding some of the bigger or small forwards. But like you're saying, with Cousins, which actually since we're coming to the end on this first segment, we'll discuss Cousins more because I think he kind of deserves his own segment.
Yeah, we'll table
figuring. That. Yeah, kind of figure out how he's going to fit in. But yeah, I think maybe he bulks up a little bit more and gets a little bit bigger. But at his size, yeah, he fits more of the playing against the stretch fours and the bigger small fours going forward. And another thing I wanted to kind of bring up about Christian Woods is, he started off in the G League, wasn't drafted, kind of brought himself up and worked hard. And do you think in that circumstance, a player like that would be even more hungrier than, let's say, someone that was a fifth-round pick or a fifth pick in the first round and kind of had it, yeah, a lottery pick, had everything handed to him. I mean, he's kind of had to work his way up. And I know some people were worrying about, well, he got his money now, maybe he won't be as hungry, but I just don't see that. I just think I don't think he's really going to settle just for, a 3-year, $41 million contract. I think he's going to work even harder, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, there's something to be said about someone that kind of had to come up and get out the mud, right? Someone that really had to, to grind, wasn't really a household name, like Wood. What I mean is that Wood obviously wasn't a household name. One thing I think about, and I'm not worried about him folding from a production standpoint or a play standpoint. I mean, like you say, he's 25 years old and he got a 3-year deal. You know, when his contract's up, he'll still be in his prime. So I don't think that he wants to just say, okay, I got my $41 million. You know, that's not even a max contract. You know, I think a guy like that, he's ascended to where now he has that $14 million. But I think that his sights are on that max deal. So I personally think that we're going to get, we're going to get great play out of Woods and ball out, I think, because he is eyeing that max deal. I mean, 3 years is not really going to go by, slowly. 3 years will fly by. So before we'll know it, he'll be in his contract year. And I don't think he has a player option in this deal either, right?
No, yeah, I think it's just a straight 3-year deal.
Yeah, so I think he's going to use this as an opportunity to prove that he not only deserved that $14 million a year, roughly, but also to try and prove that he deserves a max deal when his contract is up at age 28.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think about it, he has another one or two big contracts possibly coming. So it's really no reason for him to kind of just be like, oh, okay, well, I made it. I'm not gonna go any further. I'm just going to kind of stay where I've been, and my play is not going to elevate anymore. So I think the Rockets got him at the exact right time. I think he fits this team, like I said, whether Harden and Westbrook are still here or not, you got a young piece that you can kind of build around, which is perfect. So I think it's the perfect signing, and it kind of leads us into our second segment, which is going to be coming up soon, where we're going to be talking about the newest Rocket, DeMarcus Cousins. And funny enough, Wood did play with Cousins in New Orleans. It was only a few games, but they did play together for a few games. And so we'll be kind of discussing that in our second segment. So please stay tuned.
And we are back for the second half of the Launchpad podcast presented by Clutch City Control Room. If you enjoy the show, please do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. Now, on this segment, we discussed last segment about the addition of Christian Wood. In this segment, we'll focus on the newest addition of the Rockets, DeMarcus Cousins, who was signed on Monday afternoon. News that made Rockets Twitter very happy. I know, yes. Rockets Twitter has been pushing for the Rockets to pick him up for the last several months, really. And really the last couple of years. Yes. I know a lot of Rockets fans have been saying, bring Boogie to Houston. I know the photo that went viral years ago, we had the Rockets shorts on.
Yeah, I remember that.
So let's just start right there. What are your thoughts on Boogie and what he brings to this team?
So at the very least, it's a low-risk signing because it's non-guaranteed. It kind of depends on which Boogie you're getting, because you're not going to get the New Orleans Boogie or Sacramento Boogie. I'm hoping you at least get the Golden State Boogie before he got injured. In those 30 games, he averaged 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Of course, he's probably not going to give you that either because he's been out for a couple of years, but let's just say he gives you half of that. I mean, his physical ability may be limited now, but his basketball knowledge hasn't went anywhere. And honestly, you could say a lot of stuff about Cousins, but he's probably one of the smartest basketball players on the court when it comes to just overall his basketball intelligence. He knows exactly where to be on the court. He knows exactly where to drop the pass. He's one of the best passing big men in the league, even still to this day. So I think it's a great signing. I mean, you can either get the cousin that's been hurt all the time and then you just end up cutting him and you don't lose anything from it, or you can get a cousin that goes out there and gives you 10 to 15 minutes a game and actually sometime may even play in the clutch for you. So I think it's a great signing. It's pretty much no risk, and it's just a really high ceiling.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's definitely not a risk. You know, we brought him in on a non-guaranteed deal, which is the definition of no risk.
Yes.
You know, if it doesn't work out, which I don't see why it wouldn't, you know, you can cut ties and not be committed to, you know, future salary. But the biggest thing about it is I think it depends on the role and the expectation that you have off the bat, you know, right out the gates. Because the fact is Boogie missed all of last season. I know there was talk that he may have been able to return for the bubble, right? Torn ACL. Nowadays, seems like torn ACL is an injury that may be 6 months, six to 8 months. And I know that he had that injury last August, I want to say. It's definitely been over a year ago now. And they say the Rockets brought him in for a workout today, and they were really impressed, which eased up any kind of concerns about him being injured still. So the injury concern is not as much of a problem. Granted, that is something that needs to be noted because he's missed quite a bit of games. I think he's in played all 82 games.
Yeah, he hasn't played since June of 2019. That was the last game he played, and that was with Golden State.
Right, and even that year he played 48 games because he was recovering from an Achilles injury in the season.
Yeah.
So he played 30 games with Golden State, sorry, because he got injured after the 48-game mark in 2017-18 with the Pelicans. But, yeah, so he's obviously had an extensive injury history. I don't think, given the amount of time he's had to, you know, recover from his last injury, I don't think that there should be concerns about, you know, that injury. But the thing about it, you know, Boogie is – obviously Boogie is someone who, as we said, you know, with the Warriors, he wasn't at 100% health, you know, just to be honest. So 16-8 that year, three and a half assists, that's actually pretty good for a big man especially. But even if you're getting that version of Boogie, which is a shell of the All-NBA version, of the All-Star version, that's still great contributions. I mean, in that season of Warriors, they did start him, but he played about 26 minutes a night. You know, so 16-8 on 26 minutes is actually, like I said, that's really solid, especially on a Warriors team that obviously had Klay, KD, Steph. You know, I like the fact that he has been the man, right, Sacramento days and even New Orleans days, although he shared that with AD. I like the fact that he's been a star and also been a co-star and also been a role player like he was with the Warriors, because he's not going to be brought in here to be the guy, right? At best, I think he's going to be, you know, your fourth best option behind, obviously, Harden, Russ, and Christian Wood. But like I said, that's at best. He may end up being your fifth or sixth scoring option, right? So that's exciting. I like the fact that he can create offense, can facilitate. I know that he actually led the Kings in assists 1 year, which is crazy for a center. You know, now I know it's the Kings, right, obviously. But still, for a center to lead the team in assists is actually pretty solid. You know, especially a Rockets team that is not – well, right now we don't really have playmakers on a second unit. I don't know that that is going to change significantly. But the fact is, all around, I think Boogie was a good signing, low-risk move. A veteran. And another thing about Boogie is what I really was impressed in Golden State is he kind of became the mediator, the peacemaker. I saw a lot of times when he was trying to, you know, restrain Draymond Green, or when Draymond Green and KD had that famous altercation on the sidelines, you know, Boogie was actually trying to hold Draymond Green back, like, hey, man, lock in.
Yeah.
You know, so that's also really good for, you know, a guy who was known to be kind of a hothead, known to lead the league and flagrant fouls or ejections. So that's really good as well.
Yeah, and also has some off-court issues. Hopefully that's not something that's going to pop, come back up again, something that's been worked out off the court. But like you were saying, he's always been a great facilitator. I mean, I don't know if you remember the one game that I think he played against the Rockets, where he pretty much was the reason why Golden State won that game. He put up 27 points, 7 assists, and 8 rebounds. I mean, I remember that game like it was yesterday. The Rockets couldn't do anything to stop him down the stretch, and he pretty much just dominated down low. And even if he can't jump like he used to or run like he used to, he still got those same post moves. Something the Rockets haven't – I can't honestly remember the last time the Rockets had a decent post game.
Right.
We're talking about Denis Mounis probably, the last decent post guy they had. I mean, I don't even count Dwight because Dwight wasn't
really a post player. Post moves.
So, I mean, it would be nice to have somebody that for once you can drop the ball down low, can actually get you a bucket when you need it instead of having to, always depend on Harden. Right. And now Westbrook to, get you points against two or three different people. And maybe you even get a double team out of it. And actually, a pass out of the post off of a double team. Go figure that. That'll be something brand new for the Rockets. So, I mean, that'll be, something to definitely keep an eye on. But like you said, you definitely want to start him off slow. Maybe a few minutes a game to start with just to make sure that he can actually still get up and down the court, because looking good in a tryout is one thing, but, getting in the actual NBA game and being able to still run up and down the court, 30, 40 times a game, that's going to kind of determine, how he's going to be for the Rockets. But like you said, it's a non-guaranteed contract. You have nothing to lose. If it doesn't work out, then you can cut him and it doesn't count against you at all. So, but I think the upside is just way more than the downside. And, yes, he's had injuries the last – few years, but at this point you don't really have any backup center. You don't have a center. I think bringing him in, you see what he can do. It's a short off season, so you're not going to really have a lot of time to get everybody up to speed. So you need smart veterans on your team as well that can just pick up and kind of run with it. And not need a lot of training camp. And I think, DeMarcus Cousins is that type of player.
For sure. And it also helps that he's had plenty of time off since his last injury because he missed all of last season. And it was a longer season than usual on top of that. Another thing about his game that really I don't think gets discussed enough is that Boogie Cousins can shoot the three.
Yes.
He's his last season with the Warriors, he didn't really shoot that many. And he didn't really shoot that well. 27% is not good. But the year before that, 35% from three. The year before that, 36% from three. Uh-huh. And we're talking about on six attempts per game. I don't expect he'll get six attempts per game to shoot threes. But it should be really good to note that he can shoot them. I mean, 36%, 35% for a center, a legitimate center, 6'11", 280. That's actually a really good add, especially on a second unit. Because we know the second unit minutes are usually staggered. Either Harden or Russ play, they run the offense. I don't think that they're going to have a hard time, kicking out to him, occasionally. Again, I don't think we should expect him to be, to be the sharpshooter. He shouldn't be expected to be a Ray Allen back there.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that he can definitely hit the occasional shot, when he's open.
Yeah, and actually, if you're looking at that last year in Golden State, he actually had one of his – even though it was 30 games, he had some of his best statistical numbers. I mean, his field goal percentage was 48%. I mean, his two-point percentage was actually the highest of his career. So, if you're looking at it, and I know Golden State, Golden State Rockets, that team is going to make everybody look great on offense. But, I mean, you're still playing with Harden. You're still playing – whatever people want to say about Westbrook, he's still playing with, two of the better guards in the league. So he's still going to get some of the same opportunities he was getting with Golden State. It may be a different offense, but, again, we don't really know that because we don't know what type of offense Silas is going to run. So I think a lot of people may still kind of be stuck in that D'Antoni mode thinking, well, we're still going to be running the same jack up 53s a game. I don't really see that. I think I think for the first time in a long time, the Rockets are actually going to not be at the top of the league in three-point attempts, which to me is great. So I think that's going to give players like Cousins more opportunities down low in the post to, you know, kind of diversify the Rockets' offense a lot more than it's been in the last few years.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's, you know, another one of the things that, you know, should make people excited about Wood is the fact that, like we mentioned, Steven Silas is an offensive genius.
Yes.
You know, he's an offensive innovator, mastermind. You know, the Mavericks had the best offense in league history last season. And I don't look at that team and think that they were really that stacked, you know, offensively. Obviously you have Luka, who's, a future star, or you could say current superstar, but future face of the league, possibly. Obviously Porzingis, you know, we know what he can do. But I mean, to think that they were the best offense in league history, that I think goes to show the brilliance of Steven Silas. And I don't see any reason to think that he wouldn't be able to bring that back here, especially given the pieces that the Rockets have. So Silas and Boogie, I think, should be, you know, really exciting for Rockets fans.
Yeah, real quick on Silas before we wrap up this second segment. I didn't watch a ton of Dallas Mavericks games, but I watched enough to know that he put his players in the best positions to actually score the easiest are easier than the way the Rockets had their players in the same positions. Like, for instance, he had Luka down in the post a lot more than Harden ever was, and hopefully that's kind of something he'll bring over to Harden, which made it a lot easier. Now, Luka, of course, is a little bit bigger than Harden as far as, you know, he's a little bit taller. But, I mean, Harden, we all know Harden can get down in the post and score, and that's something he definitely needs to do more. He had players like Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off of maybe two or three different screens, coming off of pin down screens, different types of picks, and to get him open shots. He did a lot of different things that, and Rick Carlisle said himself that, I mean, Steven Silas was the one running the offense. He kind of just was hands off with it. So if anybody thinks, oh, well, Silas is a rookie coach, he's not going to know. Silas already has kind of his game plan ready. He already knows exactly what he's doing. So I think you're going to see like a totally different offense, you know, come December 22nd, which will be great for a lot of Rockets fans, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of going to do it for the second segment. In this third and final segment, we're going to kind of go over the overall team, you know, maybe look at who we think the Rockets could possibly still bring in, possibly a backup point guard, maybe another person that can, you know, another playmaker. So we're going to go over that in our final segment, so please stay tuned. And welcome back to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Clutch City Control Room. In this third and final segment, we're going to be kind of going over the entire roster, some of the moves we may think the Rockets can still do, some of the players last year that didn't get the time on the D'Antoni system that may get the time this year. So that's kind of where I want to start. Are there any players that was on last year roster, Anthony, that you think can possibly have a bigger role this year?
It's hard to say because a lot of the players from last year who didn't get major roles are still kind of prospects, developmental players. Daniel House is a name maybe of a player who could have a bigger role this season. I thought that he had a bigger role, at least his biggest role ever last season. But even then, you know, D'Antoni was really kind of on the fence. We heard that he had that famous quote where he said he's not good enough to start, which is crazy because we're talking. He's talking about not being better than Eric Gordon, who had his career worst season.
Yes.
So it would seem like Daniel House is somebody that would benefit from a fresh start, especially a new coach, new front office. Other players, I guess we're still kind of on the fence. You know, Bruno Caboclo is a fringe player. It would seem like he would get more playing time under a Steven Silas, who's, you know, has a reputation of being a developmental coach, really good at, you know, developing young prospects. Caboclo figures to be that. Granted, we didn't really see a lot in the time he had to shine. He didn't really show that he was ready. So I don't really know if that's changed. But those are players that I feel like David Nwaba is someone I think is really being forgotten about by a lot of people.
Yes.
And it's natural because he didn't play with us or play for us. But I think that those are players that when I look at our roster, I feel could emerge or could have a better role. Chris Clemens also probably is one. You know, he flashed. We know Chris Clemens has range. He can definitely shoot. And he has some really good games, but for whatever reason, it wasn't really enough to at least get more playing time. One player that I wish we did still have who I know would definitely get more playing time is Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't know why D'Antoni and Daryl Morey, for whatever reason, they didn't like Hartenstein, but I think he would be great with Silas, but obviously that's neither here nor there. He's not here anymore, so no use in crying over spoiled milk. But those are players I feel like possibly – what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and actually, speaking of Hartenstein, I think he actually – the Nuggets
signed him, teams.
Yeah, either
– they signed him.
They actually signed him, yeah. So I know they were looking at him. So I think – actually, that's a great place for him since they lost Plumlee. I think David Nwaba, I think he is one guy that I really think has a chance to – because I watched him a little bit with the Cavaliers. He's sort of that – he's sort of in that rangy middle shooting guard, small forward type spot where he's not the greatest shooter in the world, but he's decent enough, but he's like really good on defense. And if he can improve his shooting just a little bit, he can definitely be an asset, somebody you can have coming off the bench. Chris Clemens, like you said, nobody actually talks about Chris Clemens at all. It's like it's almost like he's been cut from the roster. And I almost find it funny that people want to bring Isaiah Thomas here. And Chris Clemens is sort of like in that Isaiah Thomas role mold, but he's actually more athletic. And at this point, he's probably actually a better player. I actually want to see Chris Clemens give some time because I know a lot of people say we don't have a backup point guard. And I'm sure Chris Clemens is like, well, what am I? So I think if
that's actually a great point.
Yeah, I think if he's given some time in the I don't even know how long the preseason is going to be. It's probably not going to be that long. But I think if he's given some time in the preseason, I think he could possibly fill that role if they can't find like a player like a George Hill or bring in somebody of that type. You give Chris Clemens a chance and see what he can do. Bruno, every time I see him, he always seemed really awkward. Like he doesn't really know what he's doing on the court. He has some skills, but it seemed like he still hasn't figured it out yet. So I don't know how much time he's going to get. But, again, you have a rookie head coach who doesn't really have the same hangups as the old-school coaches. So, hey, who knows? He may get some time and he may, you know, stick on the roster. But I think, like I said, Chris Clemens, David Nwaba, I think those are the two – people I'm really looking at right now, because like you said, it's not really any other players other than, you know, House, who was already kind of sort of in the starting role at the end of last year. And actually, speaking of House, do you think there's any chance that they trade House with all the drama that went on last year, or do you think they're just going to say, well, we're not going to get the value back for him, so we'll just keep him around and see if he can develop more?
So I don't think he gets traded for one, because the people that seem to – I won't say people, but D'Antoni was one of the biggest guys who wasn't a fan of him. He's out there. Gone now. I think that the situation involving him and, you know, in the bubble, I think that may have been more of a more bothersome for Daryl Morey, right, because he kind of took a chance. Well, he did take a chance, gave him a long-term contract. Morey's gone. But the biggest thing is that his salary doesn't really move the needle for you much. You know, if you're trying to create cap room, I think he's got $11 million deal 3 years. Yes. So about $3.5 million, maybe $3.6 million per year doesn't really help you much. And right now I would say that, you know, he's also one of your youngest players, but I think his value is not as high right now around the league. You know, I would worry about getting fleeced by dealing him right now and him going to another team and, you know, having a better season. Because he had a solid season last year. I think 10.5 a game or something like that. And he can shoot. He obviously can shoot 3, 6, 7, utility player. I don't really think right now is the time to trade him. But like I said, because his salary, I don't really think that helps you much. Gordon is a different name now. His 16.8 million, 16.2, something like that, annual salary, that would open up a lot of cap room. But I don't know, you know, if there's a team that's really excited about taking on Eric Gordon's contract right now. You know, he's coming off his worst season last year. Obviously, he had the injuries, well, the knee issue that he could have gotten fixed in the offseason, didn't get taken care of until the season started, missed some games, played poorly. But, you know, I don't really think right now there's a team that really thinks that Gordon is their missing piece. So when it comes to the Rockets roster, P.J. Tucker, I heard Tim McMahon said that a lot of teams have interest in Tucker around the league. He's a name that's interesting to me because, you know, I would have thought that if you wanted to keep him, he's been very vocal that he wants a new contract. Rockets have sat on that request for, I mean, almost a year and a half now, seems like. And it's clear that, you know, it's an expiring deal. They probably aren't going to give him an extension. I mean, he's 36 right now? Or no, I think he'll be 36 when the season is over.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you're going to let him go for nothing, then it makes sense to get back something in return. But it's tough because, you know, he's real tight with Harden. And right now you're trying to sell Harden on the fact that, you know, we are a contending team. So I don't think Tucker gets moved either.
Yeah, only thing is, I do agree. It's no way in the world they're giving him an extension at this point. Because if you say, let's say you give him an extension 2 or 3 years and then Harden walks, then you're kind of stuck with a player that, right. I mean, he's decent enough, but he's up in age and he's really more of a player for a championship contending team. So I don't really see any way that he gets any type of extension unless let's just say Harden, which he can still do, except the extension. Let's say the Rockets go out and start the season off great, and Harden's like, okay, yeah, I want to play for this team again, and he accepts the extension, then that's a different story. But at this point, I mean, it's still all kind of in flux. You don't know what's going to happen. And that kind of leads me to my next question. Do you – let's put that at a percentage. What percentage do you think that the Rockets will have Harden and Westbrook still on the roster? Let's say from 0 to 100%. To start the season off.
Well, I would say 100% to start the season off. Now, the question is if they're still on the team by the trade deadline. I think that has a lot to do with how the season goes. But, yeah, I mean, I would think that if the Rockets were going to trade Harden, they would have done it by now. I mean, camp starts next week. And the thing is, this was always an odd offseason for him to, well, if he did, make that trade request because, you know, it's a short offseason, right? The season ended in, what was it, October, right? The Rockets season obviously ended in September, but the NBA season ended in October, roughly. It was just last month the Lakers won the title. So you have a shorter than usual, very shorter than usual offseason. You know, it was just kind of, I thought, bad timing to request that trade. But my thoughts are that both Harden and Russ will be on the team through the first half of the season for sure.
Yeah, and it's something else I kind of want to bring up. I know a lot of people were saying – I know recently Kelly Eco mentioned that both Westbrook and Wall wanted off the team, but off their current teams. But I really think Westbrook is kind of a – reaction from Harden wanting to be off the team. I think if Harden just says, hey, I'm in it for this year, I want to play, I think Westbrook doesn't want to really get traded. I think the only reason he wanted to get traded because he knew that Harden was talking to Durant about going to Brooklyn. And I don't even think it's a case of where Harden is just, I'm just so through with this team, I don't care where you send me to. Of course, it seems like he only wants to go and play with Durant. He wants to go play with his buddy. So since that's kind of falling apart, I think as you saw, it really hasn't been any more reporting on Harden demanding trade or this trade scenario. It's just been kind of quiet for the last few days because the Rockets pretty much told Brooklyn, look, either you're going to give us Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant or the conversation stops there. So, I mean, I think that once they heard that, Brooklyn – as we saw today, they've already moved on and started adding secondary and, you know, third type pieces. So I think, like you said, Harden and Westbrook could be on the roster, and I don't even see them getting traded by the trade deadline, just because it's going to be a really compact season. Every team outside of – I mean, I know the Lakers are stacked again, but you never know what can happen during the season. Of course, you never wish injuries on anybody, but anything can happen. Maybe the pieces don't fit together correctly. Maybe LeBron sitting out half the season and they don't click as well as they did last year. I mean, who knows? So, to me, you run it back for the entire season, and then if you go flame out in the second round again, then you definitely – you start pushing to get Westbrook and Harden out, and you start – you know, you start over and you start the new team off with, you know, better pieces or newer pieces. So I think they go through this year, play out the year, and I think, like I said, Harden and Westbrook will probably be on the team, and they'll just kind of roll with it and just kind of keep trying to add around those two.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that that's the best call. You know, Russ – the thing is, people are not talking about it. Russ had a really good season last year.
Yes.
You know, he was all NBA. I think he was one of only three players to have 1,500 points, 450 rebounds, and 400 assists. Even though he was injured towards the end of the season, and even though it took him a time to ramp up. I mean, the beginning of this, it's crazy that he put it together so well on the fly, because he started out, obviously, you know, it's to be expected when a superstar joins a new team. Rockets obviously were a much different offense than Russ had ever been, especially in OKC. But he had a really good season, right? He got injured. Well, he got COVID, and people are thinking that, you know, he wasn't able to train to his normal standards. And, you know, that resulted in him having an injury, quad injury in the bubble, right? Now, he tried to push through the quad injury, which I respect him for that, because it's a postseason do or die games. These games obviously matter more than others. But he wasn't right physically, you know, and that's the reason why he didn't play as well. Now, people – his lasting image of Russ is that he didn't play well, but that's not really fair because he had a good season. So I just didn't think it. I don't think it makes sense for right now to say Harden to say, okay, I want out of here. You know, you wanted Russ really bad to where you asked the Rockets basically whatever you got to do, just do it, get him. So you traded, you know, 4 draft picks, got rid of, you know, essentially all of your future draft capital assets to bring in Russ, and then now after a shortened season, you know, not even a full season. You know, all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that the Rockets are going to trade, you know, Russ and Harden. It's like, no, it makes sense to run it back. You know, Russ has a history of being you know, one of the most dependable physical players. He never gets injured like that. So, you know, it makes sense to run it back. Year two is always better than year one with superstars, right, joining new teams. Well, I guess Chris Paul is the exception. Because year two, he was actually not that good. But more often than not, year two was better than year one, right? A little bit more familiarity. Now, it's a little different now. Obviously, new offense, right, than what they had last year. But still, you know, Harden and Russ had a full year playing together. They both had good seasons, you know. So, for that reason, I think it makes sense to say, no, we're going to stay the course. You know, Stone did a really good job of staying disciplined, not giving in to, you know, external pressure, media, or even Harden, you know, whether he made demands or not, you know, saying, no, we're going to get this thing right. We're going to, you know, play another season and add pieces around him, you know, like he's done, you know, as we discussed in this podcast, Christian Wood, Boogie Cousins, you know, a lot of the draft picks, Jones, you know, Sterling Brown, we'll see what he does. Right. And I don't think they're done yet. So I think that, like you said, the right call is to, you know, keep Russ and Harden and add pieces around them.
Yeah, exactly. And as we wrap up this final segment in the show, another thing I want to bring up right quick is the biggest trade that's been out there for Westbrook, Westbrook for John Wall. I'll just give my opinion on it because I think we're kind of on the same page. I won't say under no circumstances you trade John Wall or Russell Westbrook for John Wall. I'll say unless you're getting back picks, John Wall, and Thomas Bryant, that's the only way I even consider doing that trade. Because at this point, Westbrook is leap years better than John Wall. There's no way you can be injured for that many years. And I know we were just talking about Boogie Cousins in the same circumstances, but the difference is Cousins is not going to be expected to play 30 minutes a game.
Right.
You're going to expect John Wall to come in and play 30, 35 minutes a game and be an all-star. He hasn't played in 2 years. I don't care how great he looks in running up and down in practice games and
open gym
sessions. I mean, that's great. I hope he's back, you know, being healthy, but there's no way in the world I'm trading a guy who from January to March was a top 10 player in the league. I know people forget that all the time, but Westbrook was one of the best players in the league when the calendar turned 2020. So people need to realize that there's no way you trade Westbrook and John Wall straight up. That would be the worst possible trade the Rockets. That would kill any momentum the Rockets have had in the last few days. So that's just my opinion on them. I'll definitely let you give yours.
No, I agree with that 100%. You know, we haven't seen John Wall play in 2 years. You know, a ruptured Achilles is a serious injury, right? Especially a player like Wall who relies on athleticism, quickness, speed. You know, we don't even know if he's going to be the same physical specimen. You know, same with Durant. You know, Durant had the same injury, a ruptured Achilles. Although, obviously, Durant's game is not based on athleticism, right, speed, quickness, you know. So it doesn't seem to be as much of an issue for him as it would be for a John Wall type. But John Wall, like I said, he hasn't played in 2 years. Even at his peak, he was not the all-around player as Russ. You know, John Wall's not nearly the leader that Russ is.
Yeah.
You know, even though this is Harden's team, Russ showed a lot of leadership. You know, we heard a lot of talks about, you know, him holding, you know, players only meetings and going around the room, starting with himself, saying what he needs to do to be better, you know, things like that, right? That's not John Wall. We've always heard about friction in Washington with John Wall and Bradley Beal. He doesn't want to be here. You know, look at how he's handling his trade situation. He's supposedly disgruntled that they were even talking about getting rid of him. Now he's demanding a trade out of there because he found out. You know, but not even just that. Like I said, you know, on the court, we haven't seen this guy in 2 years. I don't think that John Wall moves the needle for you. I think it depends on the team that you have. If this was the Rockets team that didn't have a Harden, right, or not even just the Rockets team. If this was a team that – let's just say Charlotte before they drafted LaMelo Ball or the Knicks especially, right, the Knicks. Yes. You know, a team that needs someone who's going to, you know, put butts in the seats, a team that needs someone to say that we have a star player, great. John Wall's perfect for that situation. But the Rockets are not in that situation. I think getting Wall actually sets you back, right? So I'm happy that deal didn't happen. I hope the talks are dead. I hope it's done. I hope we don't hear anything else about it because I don't like that idea at all.
Exactly. Like I said, we're on the same page, definitely when it comes to that. And so for the final part here, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to see if it's even possible. It may not be possible for Andy to do. So is there one positive thing you can say about Tillman Fertitta?
Oh, man. Tillman is a good businessman, I'll say, non-basketball. this year, what I'll say is that the Rockets, like you said, they appear to be in the luxury tax apron. So that's a good thing. One thing about the tax, you know, that I think is interesting, though, not to shift gears too much, is that, you know, obviously more often than not, championship teams pay the tax, right? Yeah. But it doesn't always guarantee you a title. Now, I'm not saying the Rockets should not have paid the tax. But I'm also saying that, you know, even if you paid the tax, you still had injuries in the last 2 years. Chris Paul, especially his injury in 2017-18. And obviously Russ's injury, you know, last season. You know, not paying the tax hurts. Not paying the tax helps a ton. Paying the tax helps a ton. Most championship teams typically pay it. But it doesn't always guarantee a title. Now, I can't back him up on not paying the tax. Obviously, you know, he's had some frugal concerns, right? But the good thing is that right now they're in the tax apron. So that's a positive.
There you go. I know the Fertitta thing will throw you off a little bit. It's kind of hard to talk when you say one positive thing about him. I'll just say one positive thing about him before we go. I haven't heard from him during free agency.
So there you go.
That's a very positive thing, and I think that's part of the reason why they've had a good free agency so far. So we'll leave it on that positive note, and as usual, as always, it's great to have you on, Anthony, and talk with you, talk about Rockets, which we can do all day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I always appreciate, you know, being on with you. And to our listeners, if you appreciate the consistent digital and podcast breakdowns, analysis, speculation, guest voices, and camaraderie of our team, please consider clicking the link in the description to check out one of our monthly Patreon subscription options.
As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.